Your conference is being recorded.
Well, welcome everybody. I see some of you in the chat. I will make sure that I pop questions in the chat, but also I will I'll make sure that I tell you them very clearly. So I'd like to welcome you to our second conference call, or last conference call, for RS103, which is Value Northern Recreation Arts, Culture, and Sport. Normally, I'd be hosting it from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tawantinsuyo Council, but I'm actually in Skagway, Alaska at the moment, so I neglected to look up what traditional territory that is, so my apologies for that. Thanks for joining today. It's a pretty exciting call for me. This is at the end of our fourth year of delivering this program, the fourth program cycle. And as many of you know, you can start at any time in the cycle, but there are a few people who are finishing. This is their last learning event for their certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So we'll congratulate them at the end of the call. Last week for RS103, we had an excellent discussion about the Arctic Winter Games, North American and North American Indigenous Games. If you want to find any answers to your questions, I've tried to sort of summarize the questions that people asked in the week one forum. I made a mistake by asking you to post in Padlet because unfortunately it didn't show everyone's name. So if you did post in Padlet and I don't know that you did or your name's not there, please let me know so that I can check you off as having completed last week's required learning activity. So this week we move beyond sport and we're looking this week at some of the many northern festivals, music, dancing, games, and on-the-land activities that we might consider recreation, arts, or culture. And so today we'll start with a round of introductions in just a moment, and then discuss the uniqueness of these activities and events across our territory. And we'll talk about them in regards to pre-COVID and also the impact of COVID and the pandemic as well, because I think that's a big consideration moving forward. So if you recall, the Framework for Recreation in Canada describes recreation as the experience that results from freely chosen participation in physical, social, intellectual, creative, and spiritual or spiritual pursuits that enhance individual and community well-being. So given this definition, in your introduction, I'm curious to know if you consider music, dancing, festivals, on-the-land activities, and traditional games to be recreation, or would you call them something else? And there's no right or wrong answer to this. I'm just curious to see the people's different perspectives on how you sort of refer to some of these other activities that sometimes fall under recreation, but not always. So when you introduce yourself, and Haley, we'll start with you, but I won't start with you every single time. Just please introduce yourself, your name and your community would be great. And then just let us know if you consider sort of that group of music, dance, festivals, on the land, and traditional games to be recreation or not, and why or why not. And I will post that in the chat while you think of your answer. And I'm not even sure what my answer is. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I think it often depends for me on the size of community. So, you know, small communities, those things are often included in recreation, I think. Whereas in larger ones, sometimes they're separated out. That's kind of my thinking. Haley, let's go over to yourself to introduce yourself and let us know if you consider sort of all these extra things recreation or if you would use a different word to classify them.
So my name is Haley Clay. I'm the recreation assistant for the Village of Peguin. And I'm kind of on the fence because, like you said, like in Peguin, like, dances and festivals and, for example, our beaver hunt that's going on right now is part of recreation, but the way that I was brought up and the way I was raised from my family was on-the-land activities and traditional games were traditional games and on-the-land activities, they weren't recreation.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It sort of falls to do those. So thanks for sharing your perspective on that, Haley. Megan, can we go over to you and your perspective maybe introduce yourself and how you sort of consider those extra sort of events and activities.
Yeah, my name is Megan Hashi. I am from Baker Lake, Nunavut. I am a Sport and Recreation Development Officer with the Sport and Recreation Division. I think for me, it can also depend, but I think for me, it depends on, like, the reasoning for why you're doing it. So if you're doing, like, music or dancing or going out on the land just for fun, just to, like, do on your time off, I would consider that recreation. But if you're doing it as, like, your job or, like, part of a requirement, I think that's where I would consider it part of, like, art or culture or career type thing.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So if you're doing it sort of in your leisure or spare time or just for yourself versus if you're doing it for other purposes.
Yeah, I think that's where I see the difference in it.
Great. Thanks for sharing that, Megan. Over to you, Carly. What's your perspective on things like music, dancing, festivals on the land and traditional games as far as recreation is concerned?
My name's Carly from Whitehorse. I think I agree. I think depending on the reasoning that you're doing it, if it's just, say, you're dancing and you're playing music recreationally, then I think to them it's recreation. But if that's your career and, say, you're a dancer, you're not a recreational dancer, you're a professional dancer. So, yeah, I think it falls more on the side of art and culture rather than recreation, in my eyes.
Yeah, and I think sometimes our funding sources reflect that too, right? So where you get money from for these activities might be more classified as arts and culture as well. So that might be a bit of a division, whereas if it's just for fun, it would come under recreation. Thanks, Carly. Over to you, Joanne, if you'd like to introduce yourself and share your perspective on if you consider music, dancing, festivals, on-the-land activities, and traditional games to be recreation, or if you would classify them as something else.
Hi, yes, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joanne Liedmark. I'm from Skingnet Nunavut, formerly known as Cape Dorset. Yes, absolutely. I think dance, music, they're definitely recreational stuff for sure. For example, on our recreation department here in Skingnet, we practice, we include dance and music all throughout our programmings. And for example, on Canada Day and Nunavut Day, we have music playing, and it's part of what our recreation is hosting. And we also have stuff like throat singing, what we consider music, and it's, you know, we include that during special events, and as well as interpretive dancing. I think they are cultural stuff too, but I definitely think they are part of recreation, and they have been practiced for many years, and to have them ongoing. So, yes, thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. Do you think that might be too, because in smaller communities, there's only so many people to put on the events? Like, you know, in your community, perhaps everybody looks to the rec department to put on a variety of things that are recreation, sport, and culture and arts. Whereas maybe in a bigger place, like, you know, perhaps in Whitehorse, for example, or in Iqaluit, you know, recreation might be a little bit more specific and have more boundaries, and somebody else might do that. Do you think that that's the difference as well?
Yes, I think that's one big factor as well. As you probably know, bigger communities or cities are mainly like sport focused, and here our recreation department oversees stuff such as cultural programming, sport focused programming, mental health preventative programming. So I think it all combines, and I. From experience and from, I mean, having dancing, interpretive dancing, and throat singing, drum dancing, and stuff like that, I think it's just part of our tradition, and it all, it just fits in well with recreation with the recreation. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. And I think from my understanding in communities, sometimes all this extra, there's a lot of extra things that the community expects. In some cases, the recreation department might just be one staff person. And so, it can be challenging in your community to balance all the different expectations of your community if you're a small rec department or a single person delivering recreation. So thanks for reflecting on that, Joanne. Before we move to Nadine, I heard a beep. Did somebody just join the call?
Yes, it's me, Juliana Shell.
So is that Juliana?
Yes, can you hear me? Juliana,
yes, I can. Okay, great. We're just doing a round of introductions. So after Nadine, I'll ask you to introduce yourself. So Nadine will introduce herself, and the question that we're asking today is, when you introduce yourself, do you consider music, dancing, festivals, on-the-land activities, and traditional games to be recreation, or would you classify them as something else? So let's go to you, Nadine, and then we'll go to Juliana.
Hi, my name's Nadine. I'm here in Whitehorse on the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation in Tonquachin Council. I work for the Kwamundun First Nation in their recreation department. And basically, I think we're in a unique position here at Kwamundun because it is part of our mandate as the recreation programming to provide on the land and cultural programming, which would include all of this, music festivals, and any on the land programming that's actually written into what our goal as a recreation team, what to provide to the youth and the community. So I think that we're in a unique position because maybe, in the more traditional sense, people think of recreation as sports, and that kind of thing. But here at Kwamundun, we're trying to build the bridge between, cultural programming, on the land programming, and also providing, sports programming and other things like that too. So, it's a bit of a variety pack, and I think it's kind of a unique and really cool way to include recreation kind of in everything and not just kind of limiting it to what recreation is considered in the traditional sense. I think that, definitely when it comes to funding, certain funding streams, want to fund specific things. Like a lot of recreation funding is based on like active activities and things like that. So those can be some limitations. But for us here, at least at recreation, like our main goal is to get out on the land and have youth participate in, cultural-based programming.
That's great. It's nice that you've got sort of that mandate, too. So, a little bit more targeted focus in your community. And also fortunate that the people can go beyond your community and participate in things like the festivals and stuff that might be held in Whitehorse and beyond as well. So thanks for pointing that out, Nadine. That's a very different perspective than most of the other communities. So thanks. Juliana, over to you. Sorry to put you on the spot since you just joined the call, but would you like to introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and how do you sort of classify, or what do you think music, dancing, festivals, on the land, activities, and traditional games are? Do you think they're recreation, or would you call them something else? Like in your community, do those things fall under recreation?
Yes. So, hi, my name is Shidila Fialo. I have been living in a good part of our 3 past years. I'm originally from Brazil. And, it's funny, the question, because we're in the middle of our traditional games process. We just started with the activities 3 days ago, and we are in the middle of the traditional games. We are 2 days fun because we have the talent show with music festival, the fishing derby, so Wonderland activities, and we have been those preparing, organizing, seeking for funding, delivering, and managing all those events here. in town. For sure, this is a challenge as of today, for example, the rest of the recreation team, they are not able to attend the course with you on the call because it's a huge, not just the expectation for everybody. We have both, right? For this, that is the biggest festival that everybody is looking forward for, but also we have been not delivering those the way they were supposed to because of COVID for the last 2 years. So everybody comes just with high expectation about this. And this is one of the main discourse that we are having now throughout those days when we see that the recreation team is the one completely in charge of them. And we would like to seek more support from the different stakeholders so we could better deliver all those programs. But they are, if I think that they should be still on the recreation, yes, but with the support of different organizations to be able to deliver the activities the way that they should be delivered.
Thanks, Juliana. That is really what I hear you saying is similar to what we've heard people say across the North. I've been in the North for more than 30 years, and ever since I moved here, I've sort of seen and heard about that challenge where anything that doesn't have a place in a community gets put under recreation, and it can sometimes lead to people being exhausted, being burned out, and your community is having fun and relaxing and enjoying things when you're working really hard. So, and then sometimes it can be hard for you yourself to take that time to, you know, to relax and have your own recreation. So, you know, as much as working in recreation is a very rewarding experience, by bringing in, as you mentioned, those different stakeholders to help with festivals and music and art and things, it helps spread that workload across the community. So thanks for sharing that. Thanks, everybody, for your introduction. So during this week, you might have noticed that there's a number of slides that have some videos about Northern music, dancing festival, on the lands activities, and traditional games. So I've sort of culled through them and picked some that I thought you might be interested. Most of them are fairly short, but I think what they do is they demonstrate the uniqueness that we might consider Northern, or the uniqueness of your own territory, or the uniqueness even of your region within your territory. So as a recreation leader, as we've talked about, you might be involved in planning, supporting, coordinating, and even leading these types of activities and events. And sometimes you might have to justify that they are recreation and fit under your community's culture and values, especially if you're looking for funding from sources that might not consider them to be part of what you actually do. So if we think about it that way, one of the things that I think is important when we're doing things that could be recreation but might not be recreation, might be more culture and arts but fall under recreation, it's really important to be able to kind of market or tell people about or explain the uniqueness of these events and activities. Not only does it motivate funders to support what you're doing, but it also motivates people to participate. So I wanted us to have a round of conversation, and this time we're going to start with Megan so we don't put Haley on the spot. And let me just explain what we're going to try and do. So what we're going to do is I'd like you to imagine that you're giving a 30-second sales pitch about some of these festivals, on the land activities and events and things like that in your community or in your region or your territory. Imagine that you're sort of giving this 30-second pitch or explanation to somebody who's from outside, who doesn't understand the characteristics and the value and the meaning to your community and to your region. I'll give you an example of why I came up with this idea for a conversation. On Air North, they have an in-flight magazine, and they always sort of feature a unique Yukoner. And the person always gets asked how they would describe or explain the Yukon to somebody who's never been there or who's from outside. So in this round of our conversation, I just would like to hear some of the words that come to mind when you think of describing or explaining the characteristics of culture, arts, recreation, and sport activities that make them so uniquely northern or unique to your region? So I will pop that question in the chat so that you can see it. And while I'm doing that, Megan, if you want to think about how you might like to answer that question. So any thoughts, Megan, on the characteristics, 30 seconds or less, or even just a few words, the characteristics that make culture, arts, recreation, and sport activities and events unique to the north or to your region, and words that you would use to explain to somebody who wasn't here?
I would talk about how everything is connected to our traditional way of living, and how everything we do, somehow connects to our day-to-day life in the North and our unique reality when it comes to living in the North. Because our communities are small and isolated, it can be difficult to enjoy these activities with other communities. I've mentioned before how down south it's very common to like go to weekend tournaments or like have a year-long league with other communities, but we can't do that here. And so our communities are very resourceful, and we have a lot of pride in what we are able to do. Basically anything we can do, we want to do it right, and we want to make it worth it. And we want to be able to enjoy our time outside of work, outside of our day-to-day obligations, and that is where our recreation and our culture and everything else comes in.
That's a great way of explaining it. I just got a really good picture in my mind of what can drive your community. So thank you very much for sharing that. Carly, what are your thoughts? And you're coming from a very different part of the North than, you know, Megan and Baker Lake, so now we're jumping all the way back over to Whitehorse. What characteristics do you think make culture, arts, recreation, or sport activities or events unique to the North or to the region or to your community?
Yeah, I guess I've never had to think about this. I've always lived here, but I think just the beauty of Whitehorse and the Yukon is everything is grassroots and everyone chips in, and it's not, things aren't corporate or, so we have to be very inclusive and flexible down here. And yeah, I just think welcoming and inclusive are kind of the words that come to mind, and just creative. People have to be creative when they put on like festivals and things like that. We have to look like outsource local talent, and I think we do a good job of showcasing local talent and groups. So yeah, I think just being isolated has kind of brought such a beauty to our events and tournaments and the way people kind of come together and celebrate it in their own way.
That's great. Thanks. That, you know, a number of things that you said really stand out for me, like that local talent piece is focal to many, many events that take place in Whitehorse. And, you know, also about the community being inclusive, like I think of things like the activities that take place at the Kwamundun Cultural Center, which has really brought the community together in many different ways. So thanks for sharing that, Carly. Joanne, back over to you from one end of the North to the other. In your perspective from the North or to your region, what characteristics, like how would you explain the characteristics of culture, arts, recreation, and sport? How would you describe them to somebody who's from outside and explain how they're uniquely Northern?
Yes, I think they're, like, the Inuit games we host are, like, they're very athletic. They develop strength, and all the games or, sports we play are very, like, playful and all friendly competitions and stuff. So, you need to have, sorry, I'm going to pass for now.
Oh, no, that's okay. I think I like what you said, like you talking about the focus on Inuit games. Playful and friendly are really good words. Like, you know, it's a competition, but it's done in a way that everybody supports each other. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, sorry, my other phone just rang, so I had to get off there. I apologize, Caroline. I have to get off early. I have to attend an urgent meeting.
Yep, no worries.
I will review the rest of the call online. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, and have a great summer.
Yourself as well. Take care.
Bye. Okay, so I think just to summarize what Joanne was starting to say, she was talking about Inuit games, the competitive thing and the athletic part of it, but also the fact that that competition is very friendly and things like that. So let's go back over to the other side, to Nadine. Nadine, what are your thoughts? Like, if you had to explain to someone from outside the characteristics that make culture, arts, recreation, and sport activities and events unique to the North?
Yeah, so I think that just like anywhere, like culture is super affected by, you know, the location that you are in the world. So there's a big variety everywhere, including the North. I think what's really unique about the North is that we are so remote. And so small, you know, compared to a lot of other cultures, you know, it's very small, so way lesser known. So it's almost hard to get kind of describe what it's like, especially from people who come from populated places. I think it's really hard to kind of describe, the realities of the North and being on the Northern environment. And then on top of that, like the rich culture here. But not only that is that, you know, the Yukon is made up of so many indigenous nations that, you know, have all these incredible differences, and also similarities as well. But, you know, so it's really hard to pinpoint specific characteristics, I think. But I think, I guess, if I was describing it, I don't know, this is like a complex question. If I was describing this to somebody, I would just say, you know, it's very, you know, individual to each person, but I think a big kind of underlying factor is that, you know, like, it's a harsher environment, it's way more remote and far removed from other people and places, so it's really unique, I think, in the North. And you know, just like Inuit and Inuvialuit culture is so different than the indigenous culture that we find kind of in the southern central Yukon, like they're all so different, but we are similar in the remoteness and in that sense, I guess. All right, that's a thinker.
Yeah, it is. I think that's why I put it in there, because, you know, just to make you sort of think about it, because those characteristics are some of the things that we want to feature and celebrate when we're putting things on and recreation. So it's useful to think of the hard questions sometimes. Thanks, Nadine. Juliana, how about yourself? I know you're in the midst of probably your community's biggest celebration and festival event. If you had to, let's just change the question slightly. What words would you use to describe the characteristics of that festival or event to the rest of us on the call so that we can understand sort of, you know, what this means to your community or what it looks like? Do you have any words that you would use to describe what's going on?
I think that the excitement that we get when we see the little saxifrage coming, like blooming after all those months of snow, or even when I started seeing like a little bit of rocks or everything on the ground after the snow for so long, or the first little birds that are now in the spring, this excitement about the spring, and for what for some of the people here is what they say is their favorite season or time of the year. This is the daily excitement that we see at the college. And it's interesting because one of my favorite activities that we have here is when we have the return of the sun, when we gather everybody to just for 10 minutes a few, just a little glimpse of the sun and how it makes everybody feel like. It's, I keep that in mind and I see that this is what makes people be so excited by it. Okay, it's another year coming by, it's another time to be together, it's another time to celebrate who we are. We have for sure the snowmobile race, but tearing up for family members or friends and people coming from other regions, but all the other cultural events that we have during Frolix, all this excitement for the community. I don't know if you're feeling even more this year, as I mentioned, after COVID hit, and for 2 years we couldn't be together and we could celebrate what is the heart of the community, who they are and what they like to be, to do what they love. This is the excitement that we see for folks. If there's a room there, I know that we all have our own carnivals and festivals, but basically this one and the time of the year is the celebration of the spring. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they had Frolic, but they anticipated a little bit. They did in April. And then I was just talking to somebody and they said, it wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the same. It was not just about the activities. It was about the activities we were doing. It was about also the time of the year when we were doing. So all this is has lots of meaning and represents something in the big picture for everybody.
Thanks for describing that. So, you know, probably one of the things that I've just heard from all of you is, and Juliana, you said it really well, like it's sort of the heart of the community. I'm thinking in my mind of activities that are intertwined with culture, seasons, the flow of life, the pulse of what's going on. And when they're, as Juliana mentioned, when they're timed properly, it contributes to that sense of being alive and coming together as a community. And, you know, if you thought of writing a one paragraph for people outside who were coming into your community on a plane, maybe just some of those words would resonate or something. But, you know, I think that's a really neat way to describe some of these festivals and different activities that we hold at different times of the year. So we started that round with Megan, so I'll come back to Haley. Sorry, Haley, to leave you so long. What characteristics do you think, like, would you, and you can agree, like, is there something that stood out for you maybe from what everybody else said, or do you have something else that you would use, some other words to characterize the culture, arts, recreation, and sport events that are unique, especially in Tasman?
So Tasman is a very small and, like, closely knit community. Everybody knows everybody kind of thing. Most of our programs that the recreation department, like, runs is by local facilitators. It's a very beautiful little community. We have a lake that is 213 kilometers long. We use our community and the area around us for our recreation programs. Last week of June and into the beginning of July, we do a swim camp, which is in Heslin Lake by the dock. So we just use our community members and our community to the best of our ability to get what we need done because we are such a community.
Yeah, and I think Tesla is quite a strong community as far as recreation too, and perhaps one of the reasons, I'm not sure, but I think the recreation department is co-funded through the village of Teslin, but also through Teslin Thinkit Council. So I think that strengthens the opportunities you have in your community as well. So thank you for sharing that. Sorry, go ahead.
There's recreation, which is village of Teslin, and then there's youth workers, which is Teslin Council. So it's two separate things, but we work closely together.
Oh, okay. But you do work well together, so that sure makes, I'm sure that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Haley. Thanks, everyone. That was as somebody mentioned, a tough question, but well worth reflecting on. So I'll just make it a little easier for you. We've talked about all of these things in terms of recreation, but some of the terminology that sometimes we might use, festivals are ways in which we sort of teach and celebrate local and indigenous culture. And as Juliana mentioned, festivals are often linked to the seasons. And they can require a lot of planning, resources, and partnerships in your community. On the land activities and events, so Haley mentioned that Jed's out on a beaver hunt, are characteristic of traditional ways of indigenous cultures. And being on the land is also valued by residents who've chosen to make the north and rural areas in Canada their home. So I think that one thing that we're really working hard to do across the north is to find ways to reinforce on-the-land lifestyles through both traditional and modern-day activities and events. A really good example of that, and I think there's a link in one of my slides, is in Carcross, Carcross Tagish First Nation and their single track to success. So building trails that connect to the history of the Carcross Tagish First Nation, but using them for modern day mountain biking. Music, drumming, and dancing also express our culture and traditions. They're artistic, they're welcoming and inclusive. And traditional games vary across the territory and across the country. You know, we might have Arctic sports, Dene games, Inuit games. And I think that, you know, it sounds like in a number of your communities, those are incorporated into what you do in recreation. So I just want to sort of highlight that, you know, over the past few years, or actually I have one last question around to ask you before we wrap up. Over the past few years, we all know that how the public health restrictions as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic have led to the cancellation of many, if not most, of our larger events. And these are slowly coming back, and we're doing them, but perhaps in new ways. So I think what we need to do as working in the field of recreation is to recognize that the effects of the pandemic will last long beyond the public health restrictions. So public health restrictions are lifting, but we're probably still doing things differently. So our festivals, cultural events, and on-land activities might not look quite the same as they did 3 or 4 years ago. So I'd like to ask you one last question. I'd like you to consider how the pandemic has changed the events and activities, like these types of ones. And what do you think, like just one thing, what's something that you think we need to keep in mind in the future as far as planning them? So I'll pop that question into the chat. I think it's Haley and Megan are in the chat, but I'll also repeat it. And Carly, maybe we can start this round with you, if that's okay. So I'll just repeat the question for you. So the question is, how has the pandemic changed the way we deliver our festivals and activities? And what's one thing we should keep in mind for the future when we're planning these?
Yeah, I think maybe just keeping in mind people's comfortability levels. I think this pandemic has kind of maybe in some people permanently altered the way they think about like big crowds and things like that. So maybe keeping a live version and maybe a virtual option for people that aren't as comfortable for, yeah.
That's a great idea. So that, you know, taking more time to broadcast some of the things that are going so, and that also is helpful for people who have accessibility issues as well. So thanks for sharing that, Carly. Over to you, Nadine. You know, thinking about how the pandemic might have changed some of our bigger festivals and events, what's one thing you think that we should keep in mind as recreation leaders moving forward if we're planning or offering these types of events?
So I know, especially now moving forward, as things do open up, we've noticed a lot in our programming that we work with youth, that the youth themselves are getting used to it. And so delivering programs the same as before, you know, they're not used to having structured after-school activities. Even, like, for a while, they weren't even in school. So even just having to come back and do structured anything, let alone including larger groups in the public, is going to be kind of not a challenge, but, you know, I think it's going to take a lot more front-loading and, you know, easing into moving into these public situations just because they're not used to seeing us. They're not used to having programming go on. They're not used to being out in the public with our program. So just being gentle and understanding their capacity as well. Maybe there isn't capacity for them after a full day of school to do something super structured. We're really finding that we have to really, like, loosen up our expectations of what we have planned and to just kind of let them be how they need to be. And then slowly moving into these closer, I know that we're hoping to do moose hide gatherings this summer and, you know, just kind of really putting more thought into what that's going to look like, how it's going to feel for youth to interact with so many strangers and be away from home when everybody has been stuck at home, just taking all of these little things into consideration because it is a big shift from the last 2 years where everybody's been stuck at home.
Yeah, that's really interesting, you know, that structure that we had before changed. So really good to think about moving forward. Thank you for pointing that out. Juliana, how about yourself? Thinking, you know, you did mention three or four years ago versus now. Is there one thing that stands out for you that because of the pandemic you might have to do differently with regards to festivals or on the land activities or things like that in the future?
You know, everybody else said lots of things that were taken into consideration. And for example, now with Frogs, the first time that people, they have like big schedules and it's coming from staying at home all the time to 9 days of activities from starting at 3 p.m. until 12 p.m. So we don't want to overwhelm people. Also, we want to give lots of opportunities. So even from our side, we're like, okay, do they want more? Or is that going to overwhelm them? So we're trying to balance that and trying to see what would be the best for people. But one of the other things that I would mention, to be quick, is we had a few challenges or getting bands from out of town to get to the festival. So I would say, for sure, promote virtual, as was mentioned, promote more of the virtual activities, but also remember that we could promote more of our local artists. Now, with all due to the pandemic, all some of the restrictions for traveling and everything, that'd be something to keep in mind also and to consider for all the.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Yeah, and definitely bringing people from outside because now if somebody's sick, you know, they can't get on a plane, for example, right? So there's all those screening questions and things like that. Even if it's a cold, we all are worried about what it is. So I think, you know, trying to be more resourceful and work with what you have within your community is also probably really important. Thanks, Juliana. Haley, how about yourself, like thinking about how the pandemic's changed our festivals and big events and things like that, what do you think we need to keep in mind when planning for these for the future?
People's comfortability, kids, because the kids are very used to doing whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And now you're bringing them into after-school programs, trying to give them structure and they don't really want to take the structure. So you just have to figure out ways to, like, fit the structure in there without them really seeing it. And it's just changed, like, our activities and stuff because we can't have as big as groups. There's a lot more cleaning that has to happen, so that falls on Jed and myself. We're constantly on the kids to wash their hands, cover their mouth when they cough and sneeze.
Yeah, so at a big event like a festival, then something that logistically you might need to do is have more wash basins, more hand sanitizer, you know, masks, or limited people in like festival tents or indoor areas, something like that.
Yeah, so like earlier this year we did a Teslin Olympics, and like there was hand sanitizer all over like the recplex and the arena. Most of the like things were held outside, so then people could stand as far away as they wanted to. They didn't have to be in close contact with everybody, so we just like changed it so we could go through with our Teslin Olympics. But it was a lot of work to get all these areas ready to do all these activities.
Yeah, so we might have to make sure we have more people available in the future to help with sort of the public or our community's expectations, I would think, with these larger events. Thanks so much, Haley. And Megan, over to you. Any thoughts about how the pandemic might have changed the way we deliver our festivals, our music, our cultural events, and what we might need to keep in mind moving forward?
Yeah, I definitely agree with everyone. I think safety and accessibility has really been highlighted the past couple years, but also staying flexible. So in your planning your events, before everything, you were able to just say, this is the day I want to have it, and this is what I want to do. But now, when you're planning, you have to say, this is what I hope to have it, this is what I want to do, but also, these are different options for if this can't happen. This is my backup plan. This is what we will do in case everything has to be started from the ground up all over again.
Yeah, that's really important. You know, having those backup plans in place, and especially if it involves travel in or out of the community, or booking facilities that might need to be used for something else at another time. So, I think perhaps what you're also saying is there's a lot more preparation for, some of our big festivals and events than what we might have done before. So thanks, everyone. Those are some really good strategies or ideas or things to keep in mind as we move forward. I'd like to thank you a lot for sharing your perspectives on Northern recreation arts, culture, and sport. And just keep in mind, I think you all integrate some of these activities in with what you do in your role in recreation. And I think that that's amazing because I really heard how they bring life to your community. So it's more than just physical activity. It's more than just sport. You're enriching your community, bringing people together, building relationships, fostering, you know, cultural knowledge and traditions, those sorts of things. So thank you so much for your role in that. Before we wrap up the call, I'd like to acknowledge those of you for whom this is your 12th core learning event. And after you've earned 12 of the core, or after you've completed 12 of the core learning events, that means that you've actually earned a certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So that would include Megan, who's on the call. Way to go, Megan. Carly, you're on the call. Way to go. And the other people finishing up will be Eliza, Lindsay, Nathan, and Kelly and Farrell as well. So congratulations to all of you. It's been a really great journey. I've really appreciated your support, your input, and getting to know you a little bit, at least over the phone. I also invite you, if you're completing your 12th core learning event, and your certificate to consider in continuing in the fall. We have a series of advanced learning events that lead to a certificate in Northern Recreation Management. You can find out more about those on our website, but they include things like promoting recreation. There's a couple of risk management ones that relate to documentation and legal risk. There's proposal writing. There's evaluation, report writing, and then something about volunteers as well. So those are sort of the next steps if you feel like continuing your journey with the Recreation North training program. The other thing that I often look for and will be looking for down the road are people who have completed this certificate and may be interested in helping me deliver or facilitate some of these learning events. So if that is of interest to you, please let me know. And also other ways to stay connected, the sort of group and network that we set up is we have a Northern Recreation Network Facebook page, and it's a closed group where people post opportunities that relate to working or volunteering in the field of recreation. So if you're not part of that group and you'd like to be, let me know and I can invite you to it. So you can always reach out to me by phone, text, email, through our learning space or anything like that. The last required learning activity, or RLA, is due on Sunday, and it's called Shine a Spotlight. If you don't, you know, if you're sort of running behind, as I think a lot of people are busy at this time of year, you do actually have until June 5th to complete it. It's really helpful for me to know if you're running late, because then I won't send you reminders and bug you. So if you need an extra week or two, just please do let me know. If you are not sure, if you haven't completed the first required learning activity, I'm just trying to figure out, I think, Nadine, you did it, right? You were one that I think I figured out you did it.
For the Padlet?
Yeah, the two questions.
Yeah, the one, first were like the swimming, she had the swimming
right.
On it. And then, okay. Yeah, mine, I can't even remember, but both Dana and I did it because hers and I were the only ones that were up when I did it.
Okay, and Haley and Megan, you're still going to work on the one from Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking because I made a mistake by using the Padlet because it lets you post anonymously. So then I have to figure out who posted. So I've actually changed it back. So I'm just slow. So, yeah, go ahead.
It's Haley here. I handed mine in yesterday.
Okay. Then I probably have it. I just have not been on the internet. I can double check before we hang up too. So
I'm not too worried about it. But yeah, I put in the bottom like thanks Haley, so my name was there. But I
okay,
did
so
hand it in yesterday, and then I'll have this one handed in by this Sunday too.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I see yours there. Thank you so much. And Megan, I see that you've looked at it, but you're still working on it, right? Like there's no, I'm not. You know, I'm not saying it's late or anything. I'm just making sure I didn't miss yours somewhere.
Yep, I'm still working on it.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Okay, well, thanks so much, everyone. Please take a few moments to fill in the feedback that you'll find in activity number 7. And I'm going to stay on the line after I end the call recording in case you have any questions. But otherwise, congratulations to those of you that are finishing up your certificate. And for I look forward to reconnecting with the rest of you in September. Haley, hopefully you and Jed will continue with us in September. And have a wonderful summer. I hope that you get time for your own R&R recreation and relaxation. So thank you, Masi Cho Kwana Shish, Nakarmik Kwana. Thanks so much. And stay on the line after I end the recording if you have any questions.